Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Wow, I was listening to some of the stuff AJ was saying last night. And while she was filling in for me, and she spoke to a lot of people who were in a bad situation, and a lot of people reacting to what was happening over the last 5 or 6 days. And up until the point we come on the air this evening, there are still 130,000 customers in Ireland without electricity. Thousands without water, I believe, still. And according to the ESB, by the way, you know, it may not be still back till next week. Now, I understand that ESB networks and the people within the ESB networks are working hard. I'm not saying they're not. But there clearly just isn't enough of them. And we weren't very prepared for this. You would imagine we would be. We get three of these storms a year. This is probably the worst we've had in a while. But we get three a year where we lose a lot of power. People lose power. And you'd imagine at this point, because they keep going on about climate change, et cetera, that this is going to be happening more often, allegedly. And yeah, look, it is. You know, the climate is changing. The weather is changing. We are seeing more severe weather every now and again. So then we should be prepared for it. You would imagine so, wouldn't you? That we would think that we should be prepared. We see the floods, you know, in Cork and Limerick on a regular basis as well. And yet we know how to prevent those. Most of that, by the way, is problems that we've caused by building. You know, we've taken away the, you know, we've reclaimed the land or whatever it happens to be, or we've taken away the floodplains, et cetera, et cetera. But in relation to this particular storm, there was so much that was avoidable. And then even that wasn't avoidable, why is it taking so long to get it back again? You know, and I heard, you know, Declan Ganley was online, and he's gone viral online talking about the fact that he blames the Green Party on a lot of this. That, you know, those people who kind of listened to the regulations, abandoned their open fire and stoves and had their A-rated houses and bought their electric car, they were the ones affected worse. You know, we had to go back to basics, didn't we? For the last week, many people have gone back to burning, fossil fuel, burning turf if they had any, just to keep a little bit of warmth in the house. Otherwise, you're just going to be cold. We've learned nothing. We really have learned nothing. And so much of this was probably avoidable. And so much of the delay in getting back the power and getting the water back to people was avoidable. But we're just not doing anything about it. So I suppose the real question I'm asking today is, whose fault is it? Not whose fault of the storm. As we know, the storm is nobody's fault. That just happens. That's just nature. But the reaction, because we are a reactionary state. Well, certainly our government are reactionary. That's if we had a government, by the way. They're on holidays. And their argument is as well, by the way, for not coming back, you know, is, oh, well, what can we do about it? You know, we're doing everything we can. It's called leadership. But they don't seem to understand that. The lack of leadership doesn't certainly help. That reassurance from a government who are working in the dáil, who are in the chambers, arguing with each other, telling, you know, the opposition, telling them, you know, you need to get down there to certain parts of the country, look at the state of it. They have no communications, they have no broadband, they have no electricity, they have no water in some cases, they're cold. What about the elderly people? You know what I mean? Are we forgetting about those people? That there are people in this country as we speak who are over the age of 70 who at this moment in time have no heat and no electricity. And maybe nobody's checked in on them. Are they okay? You know, nobody's looked in to see are they all right. If you know somebody, please do that. Because they're isolated. Maybe they can't even call somebody because they might have a little mobile phone and they can't connect to anybody because even some people who've got their power back don't have mobile phone signal. They have to drive 10 miles to get a signal because the masts in the area still don't have any power. We rely really so much on electricity that cutting ourselves off from one form of electricity, you know, be it fossil fuel, is really a bad idea when everything else goes down. Anyway, the question I want to ask is, what do you think needs to happen to get us out of this mess? And what needs to happen to make sure that we don't have a fallout from this type of storm again? Now, we're always going to have a bit of a fallout from it, obviously. There's nothing you can do about wrecked buildings and slates coming off roofs and trees falling down, although you can stop some of the trees from falling down by cutting down the dead ones in the first place. But what needs to happen? How do we change all of this? And I know it's not short-term. It has to be a long-term solution. And money should never be an object, by the way, in this. Let me know what you think. The number, by the way, as usual, is 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. I thought we'd continue this tonight because ABJ was saying she got such a reaction to it last night. She had to get extended a little bit last night. There were so many people wanted to get involved. So we want to give you that opportunity again tonight. So if you're at home and you've no electricity, no water, no communications, well, if you've no communications, it's going to be difficult for you to communicate with us, but try your best. Maybe you have, I don't know, a little windy-up radio or something with batteries in it, or you just happen to have a bit of a mobile phone signal, or somebody I spoke to during the week who had to drive to the local graveyard like everybody else in her town. There was 30 cars in the local graveyard. They weren't there paying their respects. The only reason they went there is the only place they could get a mobile phone signal. So if you're one of those type of people who've had to do things like that during the week, we want to hear your story. The number's 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp us right now. Let's go to Billy first. Billy, hi, how are you?
Niall, can you imagine going to a graveyard to call you?
I know. But Bernie.
Bernie. It has to be a first for you, Niall, someone going to the graveyard to make a phone call.
But yeah, she was telling me
not to make light. Not to make light of the situation, Niall, but just yeah. Look, I don't think there's much point in the doll being called back. Because
why?
I'll tell you why, Niall. Is Simon Harris or Micheál Martin or any of them going to go out and put up one communications pole or one electricity pole or anything?
No, hear me out, Billy. It's a central place where all the information can come in and be sorted out.
The only reason, Niall, that Sinn Féin and the opposition are calling for the government to go back now is so they can disrupt and throw more mud at the situation. What needs to happen, you're completely right, the line ministers involved in communication and energy need to be at their departments and need to be working. And the only reason that the Dáil should be coming back is to bring in the heads of the likes of the ESB and Electric Ireland to answer questions in committee sessions. Mm. But for the General Dáil to come back and sit down and shout at Micheál Martin because there was a storm is a bit ridiculous.
Let me finish what I said. The reason I believe the Dáil has to come back is, and you probably are right, by the way, the heads of departments should be there, for example, the head of Agriculture Defence to talk about sending out the army, all that kind of stuff, right? But here's the thing. If they're all in one place, in, you know, at least then the information from all the different problems coming from all the different sources can all go into one place and some sort of resolve if they can manage to get on with each other. And Sinn Féin should just shut up, by the way. They should all try and get on with each other for the sake of the country at this very moment of time because it's a crisis. It doesn't matter whose fault it is.
Sinn Féin don't want to do that. They just want to throw mud. And as far as I know, the cabinet met on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, as they do every bloody week. Mm-hmm. So it's the case that the cabinet is meeting. They are discussing this storm and the response to it. Going back, you made reference to defence there, and I was going to say, going forward, look, we are where we are with this storm. Lessons will have to be learned. People will have to look at, you know, county councils will have to look at the way that trees and ditch lines are managed, how the electricity lines going to houses are handled, how generators are distributed around the country. But I do think as well, what needs to happen is they need to have a full minister restored that deals with defence and national response or national emergency response. And this person would have responsibility for both of those things, where if there is an emergency that requires a national coordination, you would have a minister and a department that would be tasked with putting together the response plans for this. And this would be everything from natural disaster to cyber attack like we had with the HSE, covering the whole spectrum of things across the board.
Is that not just another department? I mean, I know Donald Trump has just got rid of FEMA, right? FEMA is what you're talking about, an organisation that's solely...
But Niall, I'm not saying we need a FEMA, Niall. I'm saying that we need... You're talking about who's responsible for this. Let's have a minister who covers this issue. Like at the moment, Niall, in this government, we have two ministers for finance, we have two ministers for education, we have a minister for children, we have a minister for health. We have more ministers doing the same job than we do anything else. You know, we're supposed to have 15 full-time ministers, and I've named off five of them there that have duplicate roles. You know, it's ridiculous.
So like a ministry for crisis. so to speak.
A ministry for crisis and defence, that is, a ministry for emergency response and defence that sits as a full cabinet minister.
Okay, yes. the other thing, Billy, you can't stop a storm from happening. We all know there's going to be damage during a storm. There's nobody's going to be able to stop slates blowing off a roof or buildings falling down or walls falling down or whatever. But you can limit the damage and you can limit the effect on the people by changing the way we do things. There has
been that comes down to the local authorities now.
But the local authorities are being the bureaucracy involved in all of this. For example, if you want to put power lines under the ground, which is the logical thing to do, and I know some people have said, well, when they're under the ground, they're harder to get at when you do have a problem, right? But the chances are, by the way, statistically, you have much less problems when they're under the ground in the first place. So you put power cables under the ground, or you want to put power cables under the ground, the local authority approve it, and all of a sudden, Jack, who lives in number 49, says, you're not digging outside my house, and he puts an objection in. Those kind of objections, as somebody mentioned, I think AJ was saying to me last night, should be done away with for the common good. We can bring in legislation to do all that.
Compulsory purchase orders are done for motorways, they're done for roadways, they're done for everything. Compulsory purchase, the couple of metres outside of the property that you require, CPO it and just put it in.
That's what I'm saying. So why for the last 20 years have we not been putting cables under the ground? Why are we still putting up telegraph poles, which only have a certain lifespan?
It's cheaper, Niall, and it's faster.
Ah, stop. It shouldn't be about money, Billy. We're a wealthy little country.
Niall, I know it shouldn't be about money, and you know it shouldn't be about money, but I'm telling you the reason is it's cheaper and it's faster. That's why it's done that way. And you know that's... I'm not saying that as a justification for the reason it's done that. That is the fact of the matter. The reason it's done is because it's cheaper and it's faster.
Somebody mentioned the other night the new interconnect between Northern Ireland and Ireland is now being put overground, not underground. Yeah. I'm going, they're still doing it.
They're still doing it. And Niall, the national broadband infrastructure, I'd say quite a lot of that was done overground instead of underground as well, which means that anything that they've put in, spent the last 5 years since that bloody mess was dealt with, it's probably going to have to be rebuilt. All the fibre that they put in is probably up on a telegraph pole style thing, and it's going to have to be redone, and it's going to cost another billion on top of what it's already cost.
I mean, there's no doubt this problem is going to get worse as the years go on, because these kind of wind storms or storms in general that we have are probably going to become more extreme. We know the climate's changing, so they are going to get more extreme. And you're putting up poles with wires running through trees because they literally have to feed them through the trees, the branches of the trees, onto another pole, and expecting it to stay there in the long term. That's a stupid plan. But by the way, the other thing as well is, and I mentioned it to AJ because she travels the area much more than I do, if you're heading down to Wicklow, and I'm not too sure which road it is on, they've cut down a lot of the trees because they were diseased. And it was a new program, their project they started, but they haven't done it anywhere else. A lot of the trees that come down, the thousands of trees that come down over the weekend, a lot of those trees, if you look at some of the videos, and I saw one video of a tree that was kind of, it was moving and swaying, and next minute the tree just went onto the ground. It broke. The tree was hollow inside. The tree was diseased. So they should be taken down. I'll tell you what, Niall.
Where my home, I have a cabin at the back that I use as a home office. And behind that, there are two overgrown trees that are sitting in the neighbouring housing estate that was built recently. And they should have taken them down when they built the housing estate, but they left them up. And they are just trees that there's no aesthetic value to them. They don't add anything to the surroundings. They're just there, and they were left there. And when the wind started picking up, I was thinking to myself, here we go. This is probably the one that's going to blow over the tree and going to cost me a bloody fortune because I'm going to have to rebuild things at the back of my house. And no one has responsibility for those trees. I've tried to get them trimmed back, but like, they're not my trees. I can't touch them, and the property management agency doesn't want to touch them. So, you know, they will come down in a storm at some stage. It's clear as day, but, you know, who's going to take responsibility? And it'll be my home insurance that has to pay out when that happens.
Okay, so here we are where we are, you know, and we're 5-6 days after a storm, and there's still 130,000 customers of ESB with no power.
There is none, yeah.
There's still thousands of people with no water. Mm-hmm. It's like a third world country.
But Niall, it's a case that we I've talked to you before about, you know, our underinvestment in our national infrastructure. You know, we have underinvested. We're more concerned about sending money overseas to do stupid stuff instead of investing locally. And we don't have the infrastructure that we require. And like the people, and in fairness to Electric Ireland and the ESB and people coming from Austria and from Finland and elsewhere to help us out here to get things back up and running, they're working around the clock to get it done.
No, I'm not blaming them, and fair play to them. Well done, they're all done. There's just not enough of them.
It should be called out. But, Niall, like, we're probably never going to have enough in the ESB or in Electric Ireland if something like this happens, because it's something that has been, well, it's never happened before, a storm of this magnitude. This is the first in modern history that this has happened.
Well, that's only because we have more communications in infrastructure and electricity infrastructure than we've ever had in history
I think. Niall, the last really, really big one was, and my grandfather would have talked about it, was the big freeze in 1963.
Oh, 1982
was big as well, but 63 was the big one, where up until 1963, the reason that the government bought helicopters for the Air Corps was because of the big freeze in 1963, because people didn't have access to food.
And so that was the other thing. In 82,
couldn't be accessed.
I remember 82, because I was working in a record shop at the time when it happened. And the army were in the following day, right, in 82. You know, shoveling out, you know, wherever they could, et cetera, to get people out of their homes, and shoveling, mm-hmm. you know, walkways up and down roads, because literally the snow was 3 or 4 foot high. But so where were the army? You know, and why wasn't the Minister of Defence in there? I mean, am I wrong in saying they weren't out immediately?
How many people are left in the army now?
I know, 7,500, is it?
Yeah. So, and how many, back in 1982, Niall, how many barracks were in Dublin? With fully manned units in Dublin, with places packed to them. Now, you know, there's a handful of army barracks around. It's not the army. If the army is told to go out, if the army's called out, the army will go away.
Yeah, I know. But so what? But why weren't? Am I wrong in thinking they weren't told to come out?
It's down. I don't know if they were, Niall. I'm sure they were. I've seen pictures during the snow that we had. The army were out, and they do usually go out to bring people to dialysis sessions and to clear roads and nurses and doctors out. I don't know if they were called out for the storm or in response to the storm, but the responsibility to call out the army is down to the government. The government will put in an aid to civil power or an aid to civil authority request to the defence forces, and the defence forces will respond to that on the basis of the requirements that they're given.
Do me a favour, stay there for a second, Billy. Trish, I'm going to be with you straight after the break. The number is 087-188-0008. So many people have been affected by this, and so many people texting and saying they still have no power. So many people, by the way, who would normally contact the show, we haven't actually heard from in the last 5 or 6 days because they've no phones and no way to contact us, no electricity, and some with no water. It'd be interesting to hear if they could try and get communicate with us. Let me go to Trish. Trish, hi, how are you?
I'm good now. I just want to say, fair play to you, Billy. I totally agree with everything he has just said.
Mm.
Like, what they need to bring in is a disaster recovery plan. I'm sure they have a DR plan, but they really need to revisit that. I work in a building, and if we have any disaster, we automatically go to the plan, and it's an escalation tree, and different departments, head of departments are contacted. It's very simple. But I have to, you know, I wasn't affected. I live in Raheny, and thankfully the storm didn't affect us. But I have great sympathy for where I come from in Sligo. People were out without electricity and water for days. Thankfully, they've got it back. But they said the ESB staff were superb. They were working night and day. Some guys didn't even get home to see their children, get fed. So people have to really remember that. Like, it's not the ESB's fault.
I've said it time and time again.
Canada, you know, yeah. So the Irish are great for blaming governments. We all put the hand up and say, oh, blame the government. You know what? There's other departments we need to look at. And just that, I don't believe bringing the government coming back together, sitting down in a room, shouting and screaming at each other is going to work. I agree with what Billy said. The heads of each department need to sit down with the ESB, Irish Water, and lessons learned. We cannot have people without basic needs, like you just said, going back to a third world country. We need electricity. We pay enough for it. We need water. We pay enough for it. God knows, in Dublin, the Irish water, we pay enough for it. That's another conversation. But seriously, I'm the first to close the door to most politicians that come. I'm sick of voting now because they're all crap. But I don't think bringing the government back in is going to work. But I do agree with bringing the heads of each department and looking at their DR plan. What happened? Did they kick their DR plan in? Because I know if I didn't have my people back in my office within a few hours, shit would hit the fan. So what went wrong? It's a lesson learned. It's not difficult. It's not rocket science. They need to put Billy in there. Billy, you're great. Whatever you do, you're excellent. You make a lot of sense. You really do make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but what you're saying is, look, they need to look at this, find out where it all went wrong for the next time. That's kind of reactionary policy, isn't it? That's typical of the Irish government and the Irish people. We react to situations rather than avoiding situations. We shouldn't be in this position in the first place. How many times have the government been told the stuff that everybody's talking about at the moment, like putting wires under the ground, cutting down dead trees, all of that sort of stuff, when it comes to floods, for example, during, you know, rainstorms, putting in flood defences, you know, not building on land that we shouldn't be building on, all of those kind of things we've talked about, but we don't do it. We wait till the horse is bolted before we close the door.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But again, what Billy said, and I'm sorry for being repeating it, it's all, and I know you hate to hear the word, it's all down to money.
It is down to money, but don't let the government off the hook, because you're letting them off the hook. Because let's say a lot of those people who are living in A-rated houses at the moment who are freezing cold, whose fault is that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Whose fault is it that that little Johnny who lives in rural Ireland doesn't have any turf? Because he's not allowed to buy any anymore, or he's just not allowed to have an open fire anymore, or you know, there's a limit nowadays. Oh, you have to get rid of your diesel electric car by 2030 or 2035. Here's an electric car, aren't they great? No, they're not at this moment in time, are they? You know what I mean? So, I mean, a lot of that we don't think of these things.
Well, I know they do.
Sorry, Billy, go ahead. You want to react?
We haven't thought of these things, but now, like. You know, you've got to look at the policies that have been there for the last 15 or 20 years. A-rated houses, get rid of chimneys, get rid of fireplaces in houses has been the big push over the last 10 years. Mm. Shut down your turf burning and your coal burning power stations, move the gas turbines, wait until wind power, which ironically enough, I think we have a bit too much of last weekend.
Well, you're not allowed to, but here's, by the way, maybe I'm wrong and somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, by the way, during a storm, they have to turn off the windmills. They have to stop them.
I'd say they do, but Niall, I've said to you before, like, you know, why did we never look at building a small nuclear power station on the island that could be run constantly, even when the wind generation is off. That would, you know, that is less carbon damaging than, you know, your standard power stations. You're talking about solutions. These are solutions to problems, but they're unpalatable to certain elements of the population because it's like, it's not in my backyard. I don't want a nuclear power plant in my backyard, will be the response that you get. And the Green Party will be out again saying, oh, we can't have nuclear in Ireland, even though we have a magical cable that comes from France where most of the nuclear power in Europe is generated, and it's magically greenified when it comes through the Irish Sea and the interconnector.
Absolutely. But see, Trish, this is what I'm saying to you. I mean, it's closing the door constantly after the horse is bolted. It's reactionary politics. And I still disagree with both of you in relation to the government coming back. Whether it is just so the opposition can berate them or not is beyond me. But however, you know, I feel that although Billy is right, the heads of departments should be in the departments dealing with situations, right? Absolutely. But also having leadership within Leinster House and people, you know, Simon Harris going on the television, or sorry, Micheál Martin, going on the television saying, listen, we're doing this. I've just assigned, you know, €1 billion to this, or €1 million to that, or €500 million to this. And it gives people some level of reassurance that something is being done rather than being on holidays. That doesn't make sense, Tricia.
Let Trish respond.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's why he employs delegates, and maybe that's what they need to look at. Like,
no, we want to see him. He's the leader of the country. He's the person they voted for.
But then he leaves it to his delegation and heads of department. What does Micheál Martin know about electricity poles? No more than you or me. Like,
Not a lot, but hold on. Yeah, but when you see other presidents of other countries, okay, I'm going to give out to me because I'm going to use Donald Trump as an example, right? But forget about his policies, forget about what he stands for and everything else. But if something goes wrong, or Joe Biden or Obama or wherever it happens to be, you know, they're on the television addressing the nation. I'm doing this. Or they're up on the podium in the press office in the White House. I'm doing this. I'm setting aside that. I'm going to visit there tomorrow. And when I visit there, I'll talk to the local governor and I'll say, here's a billion euro to sort this out. And, you know, looking like things are being done. That's not the way it looks.
I do that. Yeah, they do the PR bit because they have to.
No, but I don't think it's about PR. I think it's about genuinely trying to give resources to that particular state or whatever it happens to be to make sure they can deal with the problem.
I'm agreeing with Billy on this one. I just think let them leave their heads and let them come together. That's what they're paid to do. And by report into whoever is the leader of the country. But like we know what they're like when they all sit around together. They just scream and shout at each other. We don't need to see that. What we need to see is action being done. Let the DR plan in place and lessons learned.
I would have a politician standing there on the television talking to whoever it is on RTE, Miriam O'Callaghan, saying, listen, Miriam, big mistakes have been made in this country. Big mistakes. And I'd be honest. And I'd say I want to apologise to every single person who has no power. Unfortunately, most of them won't be watching me right now because they've no power. But I can assure you as a politician in this country, this won't happen again. Because next week, we're putting a team together and we're going to make sure if it takes 10 years and it takes a billion euro, we're going to bury all of the cables that we can to some of the parts of rural Ireland that have lost power so this won't happen again. That's the kind of reassurance people need.
And the Oscar goes to Niall Boylan. Niall, you should have been elected because you are brilliant.
Sorry, Billy, go ahead.
I'm going to call you out here, Niall, because number one, you're not going to be watching Miriam O'Callaghan on RTE, number one. Number two, if Simon Harris went on and did that, you'd be the first person on the radio criticising him for virtue signalling the following day for calling out and not having done it in the first place.
No, I would. No, hold on. If he went on the television the next day, Micheál Martin obviously would be the person doing it now. But if he went on the television the next day and said, listen, there's nothing I can do about what happened. All I can do is apologise. You know, you've been badly let down. We've let you down. So this is not going to happen again. And here's what I'm going to do to stop. You know, I would go on the radio and, okay, I would kind of criticise it. I would break it down. But look, if somebody's making a promise, then the media can keep an eye on that promise and say, right, when are you starting this? When are you going to do it? Have you got the team together? You know what I mean?
Personally, Niall, I'd rather see, you know, more people in high-vis jackets out working at and getting things back up and running than listening to Micheál Martin or Simon Harris or any member of the government telling us what they're going to do. I'd rather see boots on the ground actually doing the work to get it fixed.
But you'd also like reassurance that even when it is fixed, it's not going to happen again. Well, or certainly they're going to try and attempt to make sure it doesn't happen again. But stay there, Billy and Trish, if you can. Let me go to Margaret as well. Margaret, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Welcome back. I'm glad to hear you're well. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Now, it was just a day of 38.9 degrees, massive headache. Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, thankfully I'm much better today. I appreciate it.
Thank God. Even though, fair play now to AJ.
Yes, she did, because she was thrown into the deep end. Thrown into the deep end.
Yeah, well, fair play to her. She held your job up high.
Kept me seat warm. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway,
now, first of all, Niall, to all the people who don't have electricity, water, broadband, and all the other things that they don't have, my thoughts and prayers are with each and every one of you. Since I've heard the news on the radio over the last number of days. Second of all, Billy, as regards the trees in your garden or around your garden, and you're saying there's nothing you can do about it, actually you can. You can go to your, you know, council and say that you're fearful after what's after happening in the country, that these trees are impinging on your property, and that if another storm comes, you're afraid it might land on
fear for your safety.
Your home.
Yeah.
Yes, and you will get, they will sort that out for you. Okay.
I'll take that advice on.
Yeah, and second of all, Billy, you have somebody in the government that you're friendly with.
Do I don't have any friends in government, unfortunately.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No, because it sounds like you know you do. Because
why you sound like he's defending them? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he has them up on the pedestal, you know. Oh. And it's a bit late now. It's a bit late now for any Taoiseach of the country to come on a national TV or radio and apologise for what's going on in the country. Too late. And you know, the carry on of them in the Dáil for 2 days last week was absolutely appalling. That'll tell you about the type of people that are sitting in the government. Absolutely disgraceful behaviour. You know, now that they were taking the photo call then, either this morning or this afternoon, of all the people that are in government, junior ministers getting 160 grand a year. Really?
And they don't even have a right to vote. Yep.
Absolutely joke. And then the toilet, the wall. 465,000 for a bloody wall. Twice the price. Now, we've had the wall, we've had the toilet at 825,000. We've had the bike shed at 366,000. We've had the security hut at 1.4 million. And we have the children's hospital at 2.24 billion. And we don't know what the final price is going to be. They're a share of wasters. And as I said last night, that it shouldn't be the Dáil, it should be a share of dotters that are sitting in there. They haven't a clue. They don't care about the people of this country. I'm all right, Jack. The hell with the rest of you.
But the point Billy was making wasn't necessarily about them being useless, right? I don't think Billy disagrees with too much of what you're saying, Margaret. But the point he was making is, what benefit would it be to have them call back to the Dáil because Sinn Féin want them back so they can give out to them? What would the benefit? He wants to know, what's the end game? What's the benefit of them actually being the Dáil when realistically all you need is the departments coming together?
Well, Niall, you said it there, and I remember it because my daughter was 5 months old at the time. And my main priority, because I had finished up breastfeeding at the time with her, and it was back in 1982, in January the 26th, and we had 7 inches of snow. Nobody could move anywhere.
Remember
absolutely
it.
Nobody. You know? And the government said at the time, this will never happen again. We will make sure that we have things in places and we'll buy snow ploughs. We got one snow plough from Canada as a gift and they never bought another one. You know. And I mean, think about it, Niall. They're a share of spoofers. They are just there to earn their money and take as much time off. You know, look at the amount of holidays they get a year. And then they race through vital stuff that's going to affect you, me, and everybody else in this country. They ran them through. You saw what happened before they went to the polls before Christmas. They rammed in 136 vital stuff that should have been discussed at length.
One of those actually we spoke about today, which is coming in the 7th of February, which is a decrease of all the speed limits all over the country by 25%, which a lot of people disagree with. Sorry, Billy, you want to say something to Margaret there? Go ahead.
I just want to ask Margaret, like, Margaret, you're rightly giving criticism to the government and you're completely entitled to do so. And if it sounded like I was defending them, it wasn't my intention. But they are a democratically elected government. Who would you rather see run the country? Would be the question.
Well, I tell you now, to be honest with you, Billy, I think that there should be people that are on the ground who would be able to, would say, relate to people with problems, who can help different societies and the greater good for the country. You know,
so you're talking, Margaret, then about a complete political reformation in this country, or are you talking about within the existing system that we have?
What's going on is, Billy, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, you have Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and both lines are even.
What you're getting to here, Margaret, is you don't like Fianna Fáil and you don't like Fine Gael, which I appreciate.
No,
you're completely entitled.
Sorry, Billy. Don't make assumptions there. Don't make assumptions. So I used to be a staunch. No, sorry, and I'll make it quite clear to you. Okay. I was a staunch Fianna Fáil person. A staunch Fianna Fáil. And I remember going to the Grand Hotel in Malahide, and Charlie Haughey, in his sailor suit, standing up as he was re-elected, thanking the people of North County Dublin. I remember it as if it was only yesterday.
In fairness, Margaret, you probably would have known my grandfather, because he would have been at that same event.
Let's not get too hung up on what we're talking about. Okay, let me get back to where we are, Margaret. As we stand, we've 130,000 people without electricity in the country, and thousands without water as well. Do you think the government, now we know the government are not responsible for that initially, obviously they can be held somewhat responsible for people without power, previous governments, for not putting in plans to stop that from happening, or certainly to restrict the damage that can happen. But can they be responsible, or can they make any difference whatsoever by being more visible at this moment in time?
Niall, when Micheál Martin went up to the park and got his seal of office from President Higgins, and then he came back into the Dáil, and they wanted to get out of the Dáil as quick as possible to get back home or wherever they were going because of this hurricane that was going to batter the country. They didn't give a continental damn about the ordinary people of this country. Absolutely no way did they give a continental damn. And if the people around an ordinary person like me, like Billy, like yourself and all your staff, they're ordinary people earning a living to pay their bills, you know, look after their kiddies, you know, and do all the normal things that people do. And all that they were worried about was to get home. It was said on the media.
No, I know. I did hear it on the news that they wanted to get home before the storm hit. You would imagine, knowing it was going to be, according to Met Aaron, who got it right, it was going to be one of the worst storms to hit the country. You would imagine they would be rounding up the troops and staying together, you know, and saying, let's put a plan in place because this is going to have a very negative reaction across the country. But stay there, Billy and Margaret, because I want to go to Rob after the break. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. I keep saying, by the way, if you want to contact us, if you're one of those people without power, but if you're without power, you may not have any internet, you may not be able to listen to the radio, you may not be able to contact us, but we would love to hear from you. There are so many people across the country, by the way, who've been isolated. And again, you know, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm talking on Thursday or next Monday when a lot of people get their power back, you know, about poor Mary or Johnny or somebody who has been left and nobody checked on them and they've been sitting there dead for the last 4 days because they've had no communication. I don't want to be talking about those people. And I just hope that doesn't happen. That's a fear that I genuinely have, that there are people all over the country who their only form of communication might be a small little mobile phone. They live in their own, you know, maybe they're not fully able-bodied or whatever it happens to be. And at this moment in time, they have no heat, they have no food, they have no water maybe, and no way of communicating with somebody if they fall or something like that. Anyway, I hope that hasn't happened, but it is a strong possibility in these situations. The number is 087-188-0008. All right, stay with me if you can, Billy and Margaret. Let me go to Rob as well. Rob, hi, how are you?
How are you? Just listening to all this. Pretty much agree with what most of the sentiments coming across. Declan Gannon last night was fabulous, Noel.
I've read what he wrote during the week as well. I saw an interview with him during the week as well. I didn't obviously hear him last night, but I did see an interview with him during the week, I think, on Grip Media, and he had a lot to say in relation to it. Basically blaming the Green Party, by the way.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, because all these carbon taxes and all the, you know, people not being able to even light a fire because of the A-rated houses and all this kind of stuff. And no thought whatsoever put into it. You know, and he's saying that all those things, that they should go in there, the government were any good, which they aren't, by the way. They'd repeal all these carbon taxes on what have you, and all these extra levies and stuff, you know, and give it back to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, like Darrell O'Brien starts, and you know all about it.
Yeah.
sorry, Margaret.
Wait till Darrell O'Brien starts.
Wait till Darrell O'Brien starts. And you know all about it.
Yeah, and here's the thing as well now. A couple of weeks back, I was looking at the TV, and the man was on he's the leader of the Green Party, O'Gorman.
Yeah, Roger Good-Gorman.
He's a single person on his own there now.
Yeah, he's the only TD in the Green Party now.
And he said, you're saying, what was he? I remember he, said he was delighted. He said he was delighted that they were able to block an LNG terminal, the liquid natural gas terminal going into the channel. Delighted. This is what we're dealing with.
No, I understand. And when all else fails, what's happening all over the country? You know, the few lights that you might see, you know, in parts of the country where there's no power. You know, the few people who do have heat in their homes. The people who are using chainsaws to cut down those trees. What are they all using? Diesel generators.
Yeah, no, yeah. Diesel generators, correct.
But remember, of course, diesel and fossil fuel is the enemy, of course. The enemy.
Sorry,
Billy.
Yes.
Just on that LNG, Niall, right, we have a single line coming from the UK that provides gas to Ireland at the moment. If that line is disrupted, there's no gas.
Mm-hmm.
We need an LNG terminal as a backup in the...
And am I right in saying we provide that gas as well to Northern Ireland?
Yeah, it goes through to Northern Ireland from us as well. So the whole island has a single pipeline coming in from the UK. Niall, just one other thing. I sent in a document that came from Lithuania. Right, their national emergency body sends out a document to every household in the country that says, this is what you need in case of emergency. This is how much water you need to survive for 3 days. This is what you should have in an emergency supply. There's no body in Ireland that does that. There's no state body that tells the people how to prepare adequately for an emergency. And that's why every time that there's a storm coming, there's a panic buy for toilet paper and bread, and every bloody Lidl and Centre and every shop in the country is empty of the stuff because people aren't prepared in advance.
I understand the bread part. I never get the toilet paper bit. But anyway, sorry, Rob, what Declan Ganley was talking about, of course, Declan is a very successful businessman who's involved involved in telecommunications. And he was shocked at the fact that we're now in a situation like a third world country where we have no communications in part of the country.
As per usual, an Irish solution to an Irish problem, you know, a reactionary, as per usual, nothing on this. But the LNG terminal in Shannon that we do need, in my opinion, because the guys in England, the companies in England that are supplying that gas, and they're critical shortages now. And this is for the UK itself that they've shortages. So we'll be last in the queue once again. I'm sure. What can we do? Air candles.
And this is the problem when you start to rule out fossil fuels. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I do believe that in, you know, 30 to 50 years time, fossil fuels will be a thing of the past, most likely. Naturally, we will move on to different ways of you know, sustainable energy. But to eliminate them or try to forcefully eliminate them at this moment in time when we don't have, you know, adequate resources for sustainable fuels is a stupid exercise. It's a pointless exercise. The only people it affects is us.
Yeah. It's the thing, though, as Declan Ganley said last night, he said, Ireland can have all these carbon taxes and what have you. We can go absolutely berserk on all this and charge them all up, and yet it will not affect one iota of China's production of coal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no difference. We're just a tiny, insignificant. And unfortunately, the government looks at the people in the west of Ireland in the same position, because I think if we'd have something like that on the east coast in the Dublin region, where say we had some kind of a natural disaster or tsunami or something, it'd be a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry your line is so bad there. Unfortunately, your line's coming in now, Rob. And he also, I know Declan also spoke in the interviews that I've seen, and we talked about, you know, obviously putting cables under the ground, et cetera, and the cost factor involved with that, but the benefits, the great benefits of doing that. Let me just go to Martin as well. Martin, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. I'm well, thank you. I hope you're feeling better tonight.
Somewhat. Yeah.
Well, given the subject, it's not going to make you feel much better. I was listening earlier on. Now, I do agree with a great deal of what Billy says. But I got the impression from Billy, like, it seems he's being very apologetic for the government, almost to the point of being, it's probably just my reactive nature, but I think somewhat kind of sycophantic towards them. I agree with so much of what he said, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, the government are there to govern. They're supposed to be there regardless of what I don't expect them to go out with chainsaws. I wouldn't expect that. Who would expect that of their government? I know that they're not technical people. They're not going to be able to do that kind of thing. But they are the government. If we were to have something like a really colossal catastrophe, something like, you know, a tsunami cover half the country, would it be good enough for the government to say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We didn't cause the wave.
And we're on holidays.
We can't go out with buckets and kind of, you know, empty people's houses. That's not good enough. We are paying them to govern, to be there when things go wrong. It's not good enough for people to say, well, there's nothing we can do about it, so we might as well take the next week off. That simply is not good enough, in my opinion. And my opinion and my response is normally quite visceral to things like this, because I think it's extremely unfair that we have people, and I honestly believe, unfortunately, when all this is done, there will probably be people discovered who've died. They've died, but they were on their own. There was nobody around them.
It's possible. I hope not, but it's possible.
You know, I would hope not. I really would hope not. But I think it may happen. And I think that's unfair. I think it's unrighteous. The government, we are paying them to be a government. And in my opinion, we don't have a government. We have a share of absolutely useless idiots.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got the picture. Billy, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I'm not trying to be sycophantic about the government at all, Martin. I'm sorry if it came across that way. And I'm sorry that you are under the impression that there's no hand on the wheel at all at the moment. Like, there is a government there. But it seems to me that the ask here that Niall has and that you have and that Margaret have had is that you want someone on TV to give a constant sense of reassurance, which, you know, if that's what you want, fair enough.
Not false reassurance, genuine reassurance.
But I don't see the benefit in that reassurance. I'm of the opinion that I would much rather see, as I said, people in high-vis jackets out doing the work. That's the reassurance that I want to see. I don't care what Micheál Martin or Simon Harris has to say about it, because I know the platitudes that they give will be, we are doing everything that we can and we will get this emergency resolved as soon as possible. In the here and now, that is the response that they will give. And, you know, once the work is done, like, then we start to plan for what happens next. But right now, I think it's more important that all the resources of government are put behind getting the people reconnected, making sure that that power and electricity and heating and everything else is back to the 140,000 people that have lost it. And unfortunately, Martin, I completely agree with you. It is highly likely that there are people that have been cut off for about a week at this point that are unfortunately going to have passed away in this situation. So, you know, let's deal with the here and now, and then get to the point where we look at why did this happen and how can we prevent it from happening in the future.
I agree with you, Billy, but at the same time, the way I view it is, look, a ship has a captain, and a country or a nation, most normal nations, will have a government, and there'll be a head of a government. I don't expect Micheál Martin or anyone else to be coming out. I'm not interested in the platitudes, as you said. I want them to have their hand on the teller and to be taking charge
that they don't. Why are you assuming that they don't? What's telling you? What do you know that I don't know that Micheál Martin isn't on emergency briefing calls?
I know exactly
every hour
the same
day.
Thing. Billy, I know exactly the same things you know. I know that so much of what happened beforehand, things that could have been done to minimize the impact of all this, generators should have been set up and set on standby. There were so many things. Every single time something goes catastrophically wrong in this country,
hang on. Just finish that line for us. Every time something goes catastrophically wrong in the country, Martin, just finish that line.
Every time something goes catastrophically wrong in this country, we find out afterwards.
that there was actually, there was a way to abate the situation or to at least make it easier. But it seems that there's nothing but ineptitude on the part of the people who are supposed to be controlling things and supposed to be making things better in this country.
I don't disagree with you. And Martin, as you said, there should have been generators. There should have been a reaction plan put in place.
Well, there's five big generators down in the Dublin port. They can't move them.
But you know, this stuff should have been put in place 15 years ago. It's not. We're in a here and now where the situation is that, you know, they weren't. We need to get past where we are right now. And then start to look at why did this happen.
But Billy, you know as well as I do, because you were on the air talking to me when we had floods in Cork, down in Mallow and places, and Fermoy and all the bad floods mm-hmm. we had go back a few years ago. And you were the one who said to me, "Nothing will be done. Nothing will change after this." Yeah, and I'm telling you, when all these people get their power back on the 5th of February, some of them have been told them, and further on, some of them might have to wait, right?
Yeah.
It could be 2 weeks before some of them get their power back. You know, the government will go out and they will, there you go, look, oh, you all have your power back, aren't you great? Oh. And that'll be the end of it. We'll hear no more about it. There'll be no conversations about burying power lines, let's cut down dead trees, you know, let's avoid this happening. That won't happen.
That is the time for the fine people in the opposition to start holding the government to account. Not right in the middle of the budget situation.
But why don't we have people in government right now, you know, saying these things, you know, coming out, going on 6-1 News or whatever it is, and apologising to the people and saying, you know, this should never have happened. We accept this is not acceptable. This is unacceptable. And we promise you this will never happen again.
I'm not the government press secretary and I'm not a member of the government, so I can't answer that question for you. I don't know why they do what they do, and I don't know why they're responding.
Because they're cowards, because they avoid everything. And I've said this and I've said it time again. Their only job, as far as they're concerned in government, and this is my personal feeling on it, is we have 5 years to stay in a job and make money and get paid.
Yeah.
And they work day by day to stay in office for 5 years. They don't work to stay in office to serve the people. That's not what I believe they do anymore. I think we've lost that.
The election that was run in the end of last year has shown that obviously there is a proportion of people in the country who still trust the coalition that was there to do the job.
I just said it was my personal view.
The majority don't seem to agree with it.
Okay, Margaret, do you think they're there to serve the people or serve themselves?
Well, they're supposed to be there to serve the people, but they're not serving the people. They're there to look after them, their bank account. And that's what the majority of people in this country think, whether you like it or not, Billy. They are not doing their work. They took two weeks' holidays off.
Why were they re-elected, Margaret, if most people in the country didn't want them back in power?
Because I'll tell you one thing. If they said to the people, if you thought we didn't do a good job after the storm is over, you know, we'll do another election, I guarantee you wouldn't have the same people there. And there you go, Billy. They're doing a photo shoot of all the ministers outside the Dáil today. Oh. That'll tell you. A bloody photo shoot when people are cold and hungry and need to have a shower and no internet for their jobs. Think about it, Billy. There's a massive big picture here. You know, and you had the Green Party in the last government, and Ireland is getting smaller. There's houses falling onto the beach. People's holiday homes falling onto the beach. One of my friends, her home is ready to fall onto the beach. I haven't heard anybody say, well, we better do something about this coastal erosion. You know?
Niall.
Yeah. Well, coastal erosion is a natural phenomenon that's been happening since the dawn of time. When you build a house close to the beach, that's something you have to worry about, the same building a house in the river. But yes, there should be a department that looks at that and helps people. I don't know, compensation is the answer. I suppose you have to take into consideration the choices people make when they buy a house in the first place. But there certainly should be, you know, plans for the future based on coastal erosion and, you know, and where you should be building houses. You know, we shouldn't be obviously building them too close to a beach or a river for that matter. Listen, I've run out of time, unfortunately. Martin, Billy, Margaret, thank you very much indeed. Rob and everybody else got involved in that conversation. So many people, by the way, texting in. And a lot of people I know who are regulars to this show who live in the affected areas of Galway and Kerry and all those affected areas currently at the moment, who can't obviously call into the show because they've no phone signal, but they may be listening to the radio. Look, my heart goes out to every single, each and every single one of you. And I hope you get your power back or your water if it's still gone, by the way. I don't know how you're surviving, because realistically, you know, we all need water. We just need water. A lot of people I know going to neighbours' houses or friends' houses just to have a shower, to local hotels or whatever it is, just to try and get a shower. Terrible. Terrible. That shouldn't happen in 2025. It just shouldn't happen.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.